Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And this went on for years until we come to 1 Chronicles chapter 17. Let's read it. Proverbs 1 to 15. Let me take that reading, please. All the much I can take. Hallelujah. From verse 1. And it came to pass, as David sat in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, "Lo, I dwell in an house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remained under curtains." Kai. No wonder God called David a man after his heart. See what a true relationship with God looks like. He's living in fine house, in a palace, beautiful house, and where the ark of the Lord is, the temple of God is, it was made of animal skin. It was made with cheap materials. And how can you love God and feel comfortable like that? When I say these things, you know, I love God. I don't know how many people love God here. Let me see your hand. Oh. Now, listen. Is there anything you can testify that you have done or you do? Because it's not even what you have done. It's something that you live with, that you do, that truly demonstrates that love for God. Do you have anything like that you do that demonstrates this love for God? Can I see your hand up? Can I see your hand up? No, be sincere with yourself. Just wave it. I'm not going to ask you. You know what it is. I'm trying to make you see the effect of the knowledge of this God. And that if you don't have, then something is wrong with your understanding of who this God is. And please, that thing I'm talking about is not the number of days you can do dry fasting. Hallelujah. No. I'm not talking about the number of hours you can pray non-stop. No. Something that you can consider. And I'm saying this, ever before I became a pastor, anything at all that I was looking for opportunity to do, anything at all that will just advance the kingdom. Let me give you a very simple example. We started a ministry. Because I was one of the 6 members that started the last church I attended before this one started. I was not a minister, I was just a church member. And then they had to use my office. The place was small. We outgrew that place, but the type of people that were there, they were people that did not have money. People with problems and things like that. Just about 2 of us in the church there that we could visibly say we are having something doing. We needed to go somewhere. There is a need in the church. I took it upon myself to begin to look for a place of worship. The pastor didn't know. He doesn't need to know. It's a need. He couldn't talk about it because there's no money. Well, we get money. So let's continue to manage this 3-bedroom flat. I say, I went out. I am giving this as a very simple example. I am telling you. And then I moved. I went around. I got a place. I traced the landlord, the agent. They told us how much. And we had to pay for 2 years. I remember very well. I came back. I went to a member, another member of the church. He was a businessman. I went to him. I said, see how much. They said, we'll get a hall in Ikeja. You can see it's inside Ikeja, center of Ikeja. It will be expensive. And then I told him. Immediately I went to him. He said, no, Bramosi, I know that. I said, no lie. That is the reason God kept us in this church. That is our own ministry. I convinced him. Whether he understood or not, he told me it's because of you. Don't tell them, say my hand day inside. He didn't want people to know what he could do. But I knew he had the money. Bring half. I forced him. He gave me check for half. I added my own. Went to the landlord. The landlord asked, anyway, sir, cut the long story short, he gave me the key, gave me the receipt, gave me the key. The pastor in the fellowship day, I came to her, I said, sir, good news. Say what happened. We have got a place of worship. I gave him the key and the receipt. He said, Brother Moses, you never stop amazing us. And I quickly tell him, please don't tell anybody how we got it. Just announce we have gotten a place. Let's go and see it. We went there. Church, listen. I furnished the hall with my money. Got the carpenter there. This type of seat that you can put your Bible on top. A hall that could take over 200 people. I put fan in the hall. I built the pastor's office for corner. I went to Alaba Market. I bought all the instruments you can think of, standard. All the instruments, piano, all the guitars, all the drums, or anything you know about. I'm a musician. I know what is needed. Praise the Lord. I got everything set. Plus a generator for the church. I came. I said, please don't tell anybody. Just say, praise God. We have this now. We have this. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, and before it happened, I told God, you know, 090 mobile phone. As at that time, it was 140,000 to have a line. And then, I needed it for my business. But I said, how can I take 140,000 and buy phone when the church that I belong was in this condition? I said, before I will buy that phone, this church will have a place. This church will have it. Then I can have peace of mind. Now, was I doing it for that church, for that pastor? No. Go and find up number 12, I'll be number 9. Number 12, I'll be number 9. Oduyemi Street. In Anifo Oshe Ikeja. That is it. Go and ask him. Tell me, I'll give you the phone number of the pastor. And then he will confirm to you what we did there. And I finished doing that shortly after that. 3 months after we moved in there, now in trouble starts. They were abusing me from the hall because things were going wrong. I was pointing it out. Your money will not speak in the church. Go and perish with your money. Go and, I know what I mean they talk about. All I did was, I went above my head. I said, Father, you know I didn't do it for vainglory. Anybody will know, say, na me do all this one, why they talk? My wife didn't even know. My wife did not know. You can go and ask her that I was the one doing all that, providing all that for that church. It was after I left, I told her. And that church, praise the Lord, after I set it up, it was then I went and got my 090 phone with this now. Why? Why do you think I will do that? Nobody commanded me to do it. It's a revelation I had. I fell in love with this God. And anything that would be done for the progress of this God, I will do it if it is within my ability. I take my God first, and there's a reason for it. And that is the confidence I have. I still serve him the way I serve him till today. Praise the Lord. That's why sometimes I would tell God, I say, Nala, he says, what you sow, you reap. If I build somebody's church, then God bring the ones that will build the one I'm pastoring. That's the truth. It's a law. So those of you that God has been using, it's just paying me back what I did to in another church. Hallelujah. And there's no big deal about it. And I didn't do it because I didn't know I would be a pastor when I was doing it. I was doing it because I love God. I am saying this to emphasize why David also was a man after God's own heart. I believe with the whole of my heart, this man here, Moses Alu, is also a man after God's own heart. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I know him and I want to walk according to the scriptures. And that is the evidence. If not, why is this church not a tribal church? Do you think it's today Joseph began to see vision? When this church was just 2 years old or so, or 2 or 3 years old or so. Joseph received the Holy Ghost. The first day he received the Holy Ghost, the Lord was giving him name of people. Discernment. Why didn't I ordain him? So that people will not say we want to do family church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because we have critics. People are looking for something to fault me. I promote sisters, their ministry. I carry them to TV stations. They do interview. They do live, what do you call it? Live program. Then the TV station disturb me. My wife is too shy. She doesn't like to come out like that. That they wanted to interview her. This one that your husband is always preaching. Come and tell us what is the role of a woman. A pastor's wife. Eventually she went for a live interview program. When I came back, the enemy is within. They want to turn it to mommy and daddy churches. They carry a wife and they go television. So I call them. I say, is it because she's my wife? I don't carry other sisters to go. There's nothing you will do that the enemy will not criticize you. That's why we should not be careless over it. Everything I am doing, I know there are people carrying torches and they follow me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so David has that same type of heart. I want to have the heart, that type of heart David had. How can I be sleepy in a beautiful apartment? I'm where my God, who placed me where I am today, who made me king. See where his house is. See how his house is. Can we read it? Let me read it again from verse 1. Now it came to pass as David sat in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, lo, I dwell in a house of cedar. But the ark of the covenant of the Lord remained under curtains. Then Nathan said unto David, do all that is in thy heart, for God is with thee. And it came to pass the same night that the word of God came to prophet Nathan the prophet, saying, go and tell David my servant. There's something also we learn here. Listen very well. Let me use this opportunity since we read this place. Nathan was a prophet. Listen very well, oh. It's not everything that come out of the mouth of the prophet that is thus said the Lord, oh. It's not everything that come out of the mouth of a prophet. Go, it is well. Hey, ha! The Lord said, it is well. Amen. Ask the prophet, excuse me, is it thus said the Lord? Before you go and act on it. Amen. Nathan says, go and do what is in your hand. The Lord is with thee. From a prophet. If it is God, then why is it that God come to him again in the night? Concerning the matter that is in the heart of David. Enter message believers, oh! Brother Abraham said, it's not everything the prophet say that is from God, oh! Amen. With so many prophets in this church, I'm teaching you now how to relate. That's why I have told the prophet several times, I say, please, be careful. Be careful. You know, you hold an office. When people come to you, be careful what you say. Go now. You travel. Go, nothing will happen. You are coming back safely. You are coming back safely. Nothing. Waiting for your village. Na burial. Just go. Nothing will happen. Na burial. Die. Praise the Lord. Make sure the prophet pray. Hey prophet, I know it will be well. That's why I want to come for prayer. Pray. What is the Lord saying? If he's dismissing you, you should be wise enough to know that this man, no one pray for me today. Come and meet him again tomorrow. Praise the Lord. And verse 3. And it came to pass the same night that the word of God came to Nathan saying, go and tell David my servant, thus said the Lord. Not thus said Nathan. Thou shalt not build me an house to dwell in. But Nathan said, go ahead, the Lord is with you. Do what is in your heart. For I have not dwelt in an house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day. But I've gone from tent to tent and from one tabernacle to another. Wheresoever I have walked with all Israel, spake I a word to any of the judges in Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedars? Now therefore, thus shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheep court, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with thee wheresoever thou hast walked, and have cut off all thine enemies from before thee, and have made thee a name like the name of the great men that are in the earth. Also, well, you can read on and on. Eventually, God told him, don't worry, it is your seed after you that will build it. And David, being a prophet himself, got the material down. And we all know that they will certainly build it, that temple, according to the same pattern of the tabernacle. And that was the temple Solomon built. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that temple was in 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 38. That temple was completed in 7 years. And on the day of the dedication, hallelujah, 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 1. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month Ethanim, which is the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. Remember that in the specification for building the ark had 4 rings, 2 in front, 2 behind, and a pole, a stick, was to go through the poles, through the rings, so that they were to bear the ark on their shoulder. 2 priests in front, 2 priests behind, holding the ark on their shoulder. It is specification. God will never back it up if you do it, carry it in any other way. And that's why it led to the death of Uzzah. When, instead of carrying the ark, King David, instead of carrying the ark the way God specified, we know the story, he did not carry it according to the due order. Get the message I preached titled "The Due Order." And then you'll understand how God wants us to serve him. God will not back up our ideas. God has his own pattern of drawing people to himself. All he tells you to do is lift him up. Lift up Jesus. If you lift me up, I will draw men unto you, unto me. Don't do any other way. Forget these Pentecostal ideas that people bring up and down. They want to help God to evangelize. Nobody can help God to evangelize. God knows how to cause the attraction. Hallelujah. And when they will come, he knows, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't go and form any other program. And go and establish a football team. Church now, forming football team. Church is organizing Valentine party. Church is organizing suya night. Church is bringing comedians to the altar. So that when people know, say, one comedian is coming, everybody will come to church that day. And so what will God do? He will scatter that setting. And woe betide you. When God is scattering something, you go and put your hand inside. You want to help it not to fall. Uzzah died by that action. Praise the Lord. And that is what is producing death in Christianity today. Spiritual death. Nobody's alive anymore. I said this with a lot of, you know, concern in my heart. People who have been in this church and never understand what is happening in this ministry. And when you hear their testimonies later on, including brothers and sisters, listen very well, because I want to be very realistic. If I am also a true Christian, then there are moments to also demonstrate Christian faith. If I'm a father to people, then I should really act as a father. That's the truth. All your children that you are growing up, that they are growing up, listen very well. Have a responsibility of sowing the word of life in them. Sow the word of life. There is something about truth. There is something about the word of God concerning how God holds his people. If it is the truth, and you live the life that the children can confirm that what you are telling them, you are also practicing it, don't worry. They will live. They will go to school. They will go to university. Peer pressure. And that, before you know what, you see them behaving one kind. Let your heart not be troubled. Once you have sown it, it's a matter of time. Praise the Lord. One of these days, that word you sow will begin to germinate. They will repent. They will come back. Don't. Do your own. Leave the rest to God. Keep sowing. That's why I believe, including some of those brothers and sisters that are left here, that are misbehaving and pasting all manner of stupid pictures of themselves without shame on Facebook and internet and everything and things like that. I say, they were in this place. They had the sermon we were preaching. It's a matter of time. The words that we spoke here, you are receiving it now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are some of you, their own, they display their own openly. Your own, you do your own secretly. You are in the same, they are the same, you are the same level, the same level. But we will continue to tell you, and one of these days, in that your secrecy, you will repent and tell God, this is what they talk. If you believe with me, say amen to that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can I read on now? Verse 4. And they brought up the ark of the Lord and the tabernacle of the congregation and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, even those did the priests and the Levites bring up, and King Solomon said, and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark. Can you see now? All emphasis is now on that ark. The whole of that beautiful temple is just a beautiful building. No life. Nothing about God there until that ark comes there. So the emphasis is on the ark. They are sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor number for multitude. And the priest brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place. And that place is the holiest place in the temple. In the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the steps thereof above. And they drew out the steps, that the ends of the steps were seen out in the holy place before the oracle, and they were not seen without. And there they are unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone which Moses put there at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place after they dropped the ark that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. So that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. That is why we say the second appearance of the glory of God. Where did it appear? It appeared when they placed the ark. The emphasis is the placement of the ark in its right place, in the most holy place. That is when the glory came down, and that is the only time that temple became the temple of God. The glory came to announce that this is my temple. And that glory remained there for as long as that ark remained there, covered with a veil. And only the high priest once entered in the day of atonement. Enters that place to offer sacrifices on behalf of the people. And only he, no man taketh this honor to himself. Only if you are called like Aaron. That is why his rod was there in the ark. If you like, say, waiting there for Aaron. Miriam, blah, 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 blah her mouth on Moses. You take it too much to yourself. You take it too much to yourself. What happened? God himself came and answered her. God himself came and answered her. Stop challenging anybody you know has a genuine call of God. Pray for that person. If you know he does not have a genuine call, you are free to challenge him. But if you are saying it out of jealousy, or just to be a critic, to be hard, or to out of pride, to prove that, don't think you are too much, I can talk to you too. Be careful. Even wives of ministers, be careful. Be careful. No matter what you do, when it comes around his ministry, be careful. William Branham was going up and down, ministering. And before you know what, he came home. One day, the wife was at home. She was tensed. Tensed up. Had to take care of the children. Had to take care of the home. She was just tensed up. And an argument ensued. Maybe Brother Brown was telling her something. And then she shut the door at him angrily. You know, like saying something and then banged the door and walked away. And William Branham came out and told her that he said, honey, that action, the Holy Ghost was not happy with you. It's sort of hard to quickly realize, because you are getting angry that he's going up and down doing God's work. And he's abandoning the home to you. And he's trying to make you understand and appease you. And then you are raking at him and you bang the door. And some of you know the story. And then you know what happened. Shortly after, she started having stomach problem. William Branham, that God will use for healing, pray for her. The stomach problem was increasing. They went for a test and they discovered that there was a tumor in the stomach. And William Branham was imagining, my wife, cancer, and started prayers. It was in his fasting and prayer that God revealed to him. The vision came back, what happened that day. Because that woman did that, the angel of God put that thing on her. You talk to a servant of God like that? Wives, don't commonize your husband to that level. You can quarrel over food. chop money, and any other thing. But when it comes to the ministry, be careful. I didn't say you should not challenge your husband. I say I've given you the limit. I said when it comes to his calling, don't mess him up. Don't add frustration to him. There are some women, the only time you quarrel with your husband is, and he's a servant of God, a minister, is when he's preparing to go to church. When he's going to church, that is when you release all the arrows. You see you now. You see you now. Where did they go now? Where did they go now? You see you now. Ah, don't do that, oh. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that's why we too that are servants of God, we must walk with them according to knowledge. Don't you to not stop and say, do you know me? You, this woman, God is using you against my ministry. Satan is using you against my ministry. My God will show you. The woman will say, if you get God, me too get God. Don't go that level. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And will embrace her to go and told her, honey, see the reason you are having this. The two of them began to ask for mercy. Began to ask for mercy. And before you know what, that thing disappeared. Praise God. Somebody here, you can still ask for mercy. For all the bad mouth you have been talking all along. God smote Miriam with leprosy. Challenging him like that. Only the priest could enter that place. He only him had the privilege. And even before he entered, he had to sprinkle blood, his own, make sacrifice for his own self first. Cleanse himself first before he will go on behalf of the people. To tell you, and that glory remained there. Hi, Israel. You can imagine that somebody will be going to church. You are sure. You are sure that there is something hanging here. That the God you are going to pray to see him there. Imagine the way you will worship that God. No wonder he told Thomas, you see before you believe. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet they believe. He was referring to us. He was referring to us. Praise the Lord. If it is really God you meet like that, those of you who see pillar of fire, those of you who hear voice, if it is God you see like that, it will reflect on the way you serve him. We will be following you. We will not the sin. That's why we're going to follow you. Because we want to learn. You where they see. We want to learn how to worship him. But most of the time, when we come close to some of them, you'll be so disappointed. And that's why some of us begin to doubt the gifts they are using. That's the condition of Israel. How else do you want God to show himself to you? To give you reason to serve him? You see the glory physical. You see the cloud physical. And when you get out of that cloud, you are there going to hold on to some images. Going to hold on to some images. And that was the condition of Israel. And God sent prophets to warn them. They were doing all the abominable things contrary to what was going on there. Listen, church. We are talking about the glory of God. And before you know what, hallelujah, Ezekiel was taken in the spirit. When they were in the Babylonian captivity, nobody in Israel knew what happened. Because remember, nobody could go beyond that veil to see whether he is still there or not. They were thinking he is still there. But unknown to them, God showed Ezekiel. Praise the Lord. You go to chapter 10, Ezekiel chapter 10, chapter 11, just read it there. And he began to show him, because of the abominations that were going on, God prophesied how that they will come, Nebuchadnezzar will come and destroy them and pack them to imprisonment, to captivity. For a period of 70 years, it was during that period they were there that Ezekiel saw what happened. What did he see? He saw the glory left the temple. That beautiful, magnificent magnificent temple, left the temple, the Bible says, through the eastern gate. Hey, hey. I'm emphasizing something. There's something about that gate. Through the eastern gate, and they went up, he was seeing it in a vision, to Mount Olives, and from there, disappeared. Hallelujah. They were still going to the temple. After the temple, they will go hold on to the idol. But the glory had left and they didn't know. Shortly after, Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian army, came and destroyed that temple. And whatever happened to that ark that was there till today, nobody knows where the ark is. Hallelujah. Destroyed the temple, packed them. But before the destruction came, two things happened. They fell out with God. Secondly, the glory of God departed. The only thing that kept them in relationship with God was that glory. The ark itself is not God. The ark was a symbol of the covenant that God had with them. As long as you obey the word that is in that ark, the mercy seat, the blood sprinkled on the mercy seat, your sins will be atoned. For whatever you commit, as long as you obey the Ten Commandments. But when you forsake it, there is no need. You have broken the covenant. Therefore, he has to go back to where he came from. He went back. Until today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Shortly after, Zerubbabel went back in preparation for their return to build back the temple. They built the temple. It lasted them 49 years or so. They built it under about 3 different kings that saw them through, and somehow, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Watch something that happened in that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Ezra, can we open the book of Ezra? Ezra chapter 1. Hallelujah. Now it's important that you catch something. The temple was built chapter 3. From verse 7, it is the completion of the foundation of the temple. They finished building the foundation from verse 10. Listen. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever towards Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. They were praising God. Now watch it in verse 12. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men, old men, that had seen the first house, those who witnessed the first house that Nebuchadnezzar destroyed, when they used to see the glory of God, when the ark of God was placed there, he said, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, what did they do? They wept with a loud voice. While some were crying, many shouted aloud for joy. Two groups of people were there in the church on the day of the dedication. Verse 13. So that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. No mention of the ark in Zerubbabel's temple. Because Nebuchadnezzar had come and destroyed it. And so those who knew how the first house was, listen, as they saw this other house, the foundation was laid. Just the foundation, no? They were there rejoicing. People were rejoicing because they did not know how it was before. Church, those of us who have read this Bible and seen the apostolic faith, when we turn and look at what is called Christianity now, while they are rejoicing, some of us are wondering what is happening. Something is wrong with Christianity. You are shouting, the Lord is good, the Lord is good, the Lord is good. We go back and we see the history. We saw what happened on the day of Pentecost. And we see how God moved. Compared to what is happening now, you will cry like those elders were crying. The ark was no more there. What are you rejoicing? Where is the glory? They were jumping and jumping and jumping and whatever, shouting. But the glory was not there. Where is the glory now? We will see it when next we come. God bless you. Lord, prepare me. Can we stand up? A sanctuary. Sing that unto the Lord.
Pure and holy, tried and true, be that giver. I'll be a living sanctuary.
Pray, Lord, cause me to understand your glory. In Jesus' name we pray.